Warning, this is the Freedom Fiends midweek non-radio podcast. Unlike our weekend live talk radio shows, where we adhere to all regulations and community standards, this cast may contain cussing and or prurient subject matter. If you are easily offended, please leave now. But tune in Saturdays and Sundays to our live talk radio show. If you're not easily offended, prepare to be entertained, informed, and enlightened.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. We're working very hard to spend your tax money to keep you from hearing things like freedomfiends.com.
I'm rolling. How are you? You rolling? You rolling, Nima? I'm rolling.
I'm not supposed to roll. You're supposed to roll.
Okay. But you're rolling.
I don't do that anymore.
Oh man, I went to this club. We were rolling hard. It was great. So today's episode is called Guns and Shrooms, The Road to SWAT.
Ooh, that sounds like an exciting episode, Mr. Dean.
Yeah, it's a reference to Adam Kokesh getting his door kicked in by about 1,000 cops from 2 or 3 different jurisdictions because he made a YouTube video of him peacefully, well, I don't know if it's peacefully, but he didn't shoot it. He's holding a gun in D.C.
Can they do that? Well, that's what I said to you when you called and told me the news, because I guess somebody called you and told you the news. You called me, and I was like, can they do that? And I was like, oh, wait. They can do anything.
Yeah.
Why am I even asking?
And they allegedly found psychedelic mushrooms, which. And they also cracked open his safe. There's pictures of it on the Washington Post article. I guess his roommates let the Post in to take pictures. And they didn't blow his safe. They didn't drill it. It looks like they pried it open with the jaws of life, man. They probably did. It's one of those giant man-sized gun safes that are supposed to be.
The Washington Post did a story on it?
Yep. Yeah, a whole bunch with a whole like photo montage of like a history of Adam Kokesh's activism. There's one great picture in there from 2006 of him getting arrested while putting up an anti-war poster, you know, on like a street electrical box, putting it up. And they're arresting him and he's still trying to put it up, man. He's the Liberty pinup boy, you know. I have critical things to say about him, but overall I'm glad he exists, and I'm not just jumping on him because he's celebrity in trouble bad guy now, or, you know, painted as bad guy.
He's charged with possession of mushrooms. So this
I don't know if he's charged yet. I don't know if he's charged yet, but he's...
Isn't that what the Washington Post article says? I just looked it up.
You know, when you said, did the Post write about that? It's like, you know, I remember when I lived in D.C. in 1984, the Washington Post did a front page story about Ian MacKaye, the singer in Minor Threat, and about his label, Discord. And my friend Bo called it The Day the Punks Read the Paper. And it's kind of funny because I'm thinking, like, today's the day the Liberty people and the
anarchists read the paper.
Yeah, because I haven't looked at anything on the Washington Post in years.
Well, we're not reading the paper version by any means. But yeah, here it is in the paper. The graph is the rabble-rouser and Iraq War veteran who promised we will not obey on the video and has advocated for the overthrow of the government by whatever means necessary was removed in handcuffs and charged with possession of hallucinogenic mushrooms while possessing a firearm. There you go. Proof in the pudding that the war on drugs fuels the war on guns, man. Yeah. They're the same thing.
Yep. And I say Liberty Pinup Boy. Did I say Junkie Pinup Boy? He's not a junkie. I might have said that by accident.
I didn't hear Junkie.
Because I used to call Nick Cave the Junkie Pinup Boy. But Adam is the Liberty Pinup Boy. And what I mean by that is, like, if Hollywood were to script a character like him, they couldn't do it as well. It's like really good looking, lantern jawed, muscular, clean cut, former U.S. Marine reservist. You know, you just couldn't do it better than that. And the Washington Post got it so wrong, man. They said that Adam Kokesh's activism is all over the place. Like, let me see if I can find it, what they said about it. I mean, like, they basically said, like, you know, I don't think they know what libertarianism is, because they're like, yeah, man, he'll get attention for any activism, no matter which side it's on, whether it's pro-gun or pro-drugs or anti-war. Like, they're basically
the same side.
I know.
Jerk-offs.
They were basically implying.
I can say that because this is our podcast. Yeah, I can say jerk-offs,
fucking
right?
Jerk-offs. Yeah. And we're going to have a little bit at the end here that we call the Edward the Beavis R. Murrow bit, which is
is that a new segment? Are we gonna have a jingle for it?
No.
Frank got onto us for not doing jingle segments.
All right.
Anymore,
well, so I will. I'll play the Beavis R. Murrow. Basically, I was just testing my new mic settings, which people may like. They may sound a little crisper. Because I had the voice of God and everyone liked my RE20. It's got that, you know, retro 60s talk radio sound. And then Nima got the updated RE320, which has more high end. And one of our sound consultants, Christian, who listens to the Fiends while milking his goats, which I love because to me, like the first time I really understood the power of radio was when I was 5, watching my grandfather milk cows while listening to the radio in the barn and listening to some preacher talk about Jesus. And it was like, wow,
the land of milk and
honey. Radio can do that, man. You can like sit in your barn and milk your cows and hear someone speak 1,000 miles away. That's so cool. And I love that he listens to the Fiends while milking goats, and he does it 3 times a week. But let me play my Edward R. Murrow. This is just me testing to send
him. Should we have a sound off first? Should we have a radio voice sound
off?
Go
ahead.
See who sounds better with their better radio voices?
I think we've done it
this
already.
This is Nima Vadati, and I have got a radio voice.
All right. I'm in
your turn.
Stop. I'm in place to do this. It's not going to sound as good. I'm playing it over the speaker, but listen. All right. Here we go. Edward Beavis R. Murrow on the Fiends.
Check, check. Testing. Testing. Check, check, testing. Ye old check and test. And here's a rare recording from 1951 of Edward R. Murrow saying the 9 words you can't say on radio. Piss, shit, fuck, cunt, tits, cock, dick, pussy, asshole, cocksucker, motherfucker, pussy, cocksucker, Senator Joe McCarthy, asshole, motherfucker, fuck, shit, piss, Tourette's, Barbara Streisand. Good night
and
good luck.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was going all the way back to 1951.
I don't know if they heard that because you were laughing so hard over it. I got to play it again.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I'm going to turn off my cut.
That was Edward R. Murrow. Ye old check and test. And here's a rare recording from 1951 of Edward R. Murrow saying the 9 words you can't say on radio. Piss, shit, fuck, cunt, tits, cock, dick, pussy, asshole, cocksucker, motherfucker. Pussy, cocksucker, Senator Joe McCarthy, asshole, motherfucker, fuck, shit, piss, Tourette's, Barbara Streisand. Good night and good luck. Shit. Yeah, and that was going all the way back to 1951. That was Edward R. Murrow with the 9 words you can't say on radio. So,
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Got it out of my system. That was good.
Well done.
That was good.
Congratulations.
Shit, piss, fuck.
Pat on the back.
Senator Joe McCarthy. Yeah, I just came up with that. I just do that all day long, man. So some interesting things that come out of this whole Adam Kokesh thing. One is the comments and infighting. And people who comment on mainstream media can't form a complete sentence and don't know how to spell check and just put stuff that I don't even know what that is kind of stuff. You know, have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah. All the time, man. I don't even know where these people come from. The stupidity in internet comments, like mind equals blown. I can't even fathom the level of it.
Yeah. And one thing I really like, too, is on the Washington Post, one of the related articles. If you like this Adam Kokesh article, you may like. And it's an article about the veterinarians who treat the government fed goon dogs. You know, the dogs they use to like sniff out Liberty.
The dogs that
sniff out Liberty so it can be arrested.
Exactly, yeah. And have do not pet signs on either side of them.
Yeah. Yeah. But there was a comment on here. I can't find it, but it was something like not good, bad, don't do Adam arrest. React. Obama. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like that's more coherent than one of
them. Did it end with birth certificate in all caps?
Birth certificate. Senator Joe McCarthy, Tourette's, Barbara Streisand. Thank you, and good night. Good night, and good luck.
And good luck.
Yeah. I think we're a little hot here. So one of the interesting things, okay, Adam Kokesh's sister, Audrey. I think her name is Audrey.
The one he makes out with.
No.
The one he longs for long makeout sessions with.
Who's that? What?
You don't remember the YouTube video, man? We laughed about it for minutes at a time.
Tell me.
The YouTube video of him in the foxhole in Iraq. Oh, and they're like, you having fun?
Right.
He's like, well, it's not make out with your sister fun, but, you know.
Yeah, but it's more like stick broken shards of glass up your ass.
We should
and,
play it.
Yeah, go ahead and play it. Go ahead and find it. All while right. you're queuing that up. It's just like cell phone footage one of his buddies shot in Iraq. Now, Adam was a Marine reservist, and he was in like the public relations department, which is literally the PSYOP department of the Marines, which is one of the things people point to when they say he's a, you know, Zionistic plant from the CIA. I absolutely don't believe he's any kind of plant. I think he's 100% legit. Hollywood or the CIA could not script him. But Audrey Kokesh, who is his sister, and this is her real Facebook account, posted on Facebook on the call, you know, Eddie Free and Christopher Cantwell started a page on Facebook for a call flood. And it had a lot of comments on it. Now, I knew about this whole thing before anybody. Eddie called me like a half hour after it happened and told me about it. Now, I don't actually. No, that's not true, because people at the local Fox News affiliate was tipped off and was there and actually posted on their site. A warrant is being served. Like, they put that on the paper. Like, if Adam was looking at the site, he could have probably got out the back door. You know, like they posted it. They were embedded to make this public.
Yeah, yeah. I hate that language, too. That's the airbrushing barbarity. Serving a warrant.
No, kidnapping somebody.
Yeah,
home invasion.
Down somebody's door.
Violent home invasion, right. Kidnapping and theft and destruction.
Well, yeah, and abuse, battery. I mean, there was stories and reports coming out that he was kicked while he was in handcuffs,
yeah.
Which apparently is illegal. I mean, you wouldn't know it from seeing or hearing about anything that cops do ever.
Yeah.
But apparently that's not supposed to happen. It's not supposed to happen in any conscious person with a conscience kind of world.
Did you find the video yet?
Found it right
Go
here.
Ahead, play
yeah,
it.
That's why I was
so to set this up, it's like 60 seconds long. It's the most popular Adam Kokesh video in history. It's got like 3 million views. And it's like, it's like cell phone footage one of his buddies shot of him in a foxhole in Iraq or Afghanistan. Do you know which?
I assumed Iraq because he's an Iraq war veteran. But so that's all I know. It doesn't say on the video, but yeah. I didn't think he ever went to Afghanistan.
Well, he was a Marine reservist, not a full, you know, regular Marine. But his reserve people were called up, so he was over there. Go ahead and play this. It's funny.
Sergeant, are you having fun?
Well, it's not like going to the beach fun or making out with your sister fun. It's more like shoving shards of broken glass up your ass and taking a bath in Tabasco sauce fun.
Who's next for the shower?
Who's next for the shower? It's funny, man. There's machine gun fire going off not too far from him in the background, too. It doesn't sound fun to me, but okay, make out your sister fun. He's joking, but his actual sister, Audrey Kokesh, posted on that thread last night, "Why can't I have a normal brother? I just hope he's all right."
Yeah, I don't know. That's a valid sentiment, I guess.
It's not bad. I'm not saying, look what you're doing to your family, Adam. I'm saying, like, that's just interesting. The more interesting thing...
It's why can't we have a normal society?
Yeah,
I'd
say where this is normal. Yeah. George Donnelly, okay. I said previously, you know, I like some of the stuff George writes, but I don't like some of the power trip stuff he does. He showed his ugly head with that in the same way he did with me. And I'm going to talk about what he did with me now because I never talked about it before.
Ooh, I don't even know that. This is a reveal right here.
Yeah.
What you got?
Our friend Kofi in Africa was trying to raise money at one point. I went on Facebook when I was on Facebook and set up a chip-in. And you and I are on the board of Kofi's organization and set up his website and had done all this stuff for him and sent him money and sent him equipment in Africa. And we sent the money through the organization. He asked us to send it through that actually matches funds. Usually it's a 501c3 in San Francisco called the International Society for the something Society for International Liberty. I don't know what ISIL, I think it is, but they're legit. And we know people from them who've gone and worked with Kofi. He's legit. He's a real guy. It's Africa Youth Peace Call. If you want to look it up and send him money, it's not an African scam. It's real. And he does Liberty classes there on very little money. I had sent him money. My dad's Rotary Club had sent him money. And I was trying to get him a little bit more money because he was really sick and needed like $80 worth of antibiotics to not die. And it's a real thing. It really happened.
Yeah.
And I set up this chip in that was going to the ISIL, which is where Kofi won, and Kofi asked me to do this. George Donnelly jumped on that thread and said, I don't know who you are, and Kofi asked me to take care of sending money to him. I would like you to immediately remove this chip in and point people toward mine. That's why I don't like George Donnelly.
Yeah, who cares where the guy gets money? I mean, if people are going to donate, they're going to donate. If they get $45 from you and $35 from Donnelly's thing, the dude still gets the money. Why does
okay.
it matter?
Now, Eddie Free, who's like as close to Adam Kokesh as anybody, I mean, they hang out so much, you might as well call them roommates, but they have separate houses. They work together on stuff, on a lot of stuff. Eddie set up this thing that was a call flood. Now, Adam is a big proponent of call floods. He likes people to flood, you know, whether it's a good thing to do or not. When someone's arrested, he gives out the number of the police shop and tells everyone to call the police and say, why are you doing this to our friend? So Eddie set up a call flood page on Facebook with the information. George Donnelly, read what I just sent you that George Donnelly posted.
He posted, Adam hired Shield Mutual specifically to handle this public relations defense.
No, go back again. You missed a word and it's important.
All right. His. Okay. Adam hired Shield Mutual specifically to handle his public relations defense, and he is very pleased with our continuing service. You should let us do that. When we have a dozen different individuals creating call flood events, our disorganization will be complete. What? This sounds like something a robot said. Our disorganization will be complete. Is the Borg. George Donnelly's Borg society. We owe it to Adam to respect his wishes in this matter. We owe it to him to be organized behind his business team and his appointed public relations defense team. Please pause the event, remove the current description, replace it with a message asking people to stand by and make me an admin of the event if you would like to work together with me. Why does he have to? What? It's me. What about
me? This sounds like a cease and desist. Assist written by a robot. It really does, man.
Dude. Okay, so that's totally not the point of Liberty, I kind of feel like. I mean, if everybody is chipping in, you don't have a right to tell people to stop calling in their support of Adam Kokesh. If they want to make a call, they can do it. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that's like, what Liberty was.
Like as if the people at the police station are going to be saying, now, which organization are you? And checking it off and saying, well, Adam, you got 600 calls and 500 of them were from Shield Mutual. So we're going to let you off. Shield Mutual, man. It sounds like a tampon company that also sells insurance.
Yeah. It has bad connotations for me because isn't that like the organization in the Marvel comic universe that's like the UN's secret superhero alliance?
Is it?
I think so, yeah. And they like have these giant tax-funded warships and they're like,
wow.
They're like the blue-helmeted goons.
Legumes.
Dragoons.
Blue legumes.
Yes, they're the blue legumes. Tasty, tasty.
That's funny, man. I don't think that's it. I'm searching that. I can't find proof of that on the internet, so it's not true.
It's not true.
If it was true, it'd be on the internet and there'd be porn of it. When you search it, all that comes up is YouTube videos.
Here we go. Shield. Wikipedia.
All that comes up is George Donnelly videos that have about 100 views telling people why they should use Shield Mutual.
I'll pigeon it to you. Right. Shield on Wiki is a fictional espionage and law enforcement agency in the Marvel Comics universe created by Stan Lee in Strange Tales, August 1965. The acronym originally stood for Supreme Headquarters Espionage.
Stop. Yeah. I got you, but the word mutual is not even on this page. And, you know, The Shield is the name of a show about cops who love to violate the Bill of Rights, and it was one of my favorite cop shows. You know, actually, there's a thing I want to point out in this coverage of Adam that all of the news said, like, and he's a former Marine and was believed to be in possession of a shotgun. That is code now in news for this guy is either going to be like Dorner in Los Angeles or he's going to be like the guy who blew up the federal building. You know, basically saying ex-military in the same sentence with weapons is code in media, in mainstream media, for danger, danger, danger. It's also to reinforce the state by basically saying military people are such incredible killing machines that if you give them a single action pistol, they can take over the world. You know, I think there's some of that in it too.
Yeah. I think so. But if you're using these skills endowed upon you by the state for non-state murder, then you're a bad guy.
Somebody should go on Kickstarter and start a fundraising campaign to do an agorist comic about a superhero based on Adam called Mushroom Man, who, when he eats his mushroom, he gets magical powers to fight the state with any weapon available.
Nice. That would be great. Oh, but get the new acronym for Marvel. I didn't realize Marvel had gotten so statist. I guess that's why I haven't seen any of their stupid movies.
They're statist and PC. Didn't they make Superman Muslim recently?
Oh, man, I don't even know.
I think they
but
did.
That's DC. That's DC. That's not okay. Marvel, though. But,
oh, wait, but check out the- they would sue me for making that mistake. I stand corrected. Would. Yeah.
Check out the new acronym, though.
They'd have George Donnelly send me a cease and desist bot.
Please stop assigning different religions to our superheroes.
That's not us. Okay, what's their acronym?
It's Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
That sounds like a joke. That sounds like me saying statist victim squad stories.
It does. And apparently in the universe, there's related organizations. Armor, Hammer, Strike, Euromind, Sword... Safe and Hate.
Now, you know, the thing about the mainstream press invoking the terms military and weapons in the same sentence for someone who's not acting for the state at the time, that's not that new. I saw it in the show The Shield, probably before 9/11, a little while before, but that's after the federal building thing in Oklahoma City.
Right,
so basically that thing in Oklahoma City was the thing that created the, oh my God, all returning veterans are terrorists. You know, that bullshit.
Yeah.
They just love to invoke that. So George Donnelly, if this was a live show and we were doing a tweak and review, one of your points would have to be, George Donnelly, you do good work. Just shut up and let other people do good work, too.
Right. Why do you have to have some kind of monopoly on these things? In both examples you gave, in one, he wants to be the one in charge of Adam Kokesh's call flood of all things. And in the other one, he wanted to be in charge of sending the charity money.
Yeah. I mean, basically,
it's Shake and Bake and I helped. He wanted to kick Mom out of the kitchen and do the whole Shake and Bake himself.
He wants to be the only one who's authorized enough to do the open source activism.
Right. Oh man, I don't get it.
Yeah.
He should stick to writing things and he can organize things, but here's the thing, if your organization is the best, people will use it anyway. Don't complain when people don't do it.
I know. One of the Fiend's Facebook admins said Adam gets arrested more than an entire pro sports team.
Who said that? That's great.
I don't know. It's Kudos. One of the admins. There's like Something. Five of them, man. They work as one. They are Borg for Liberty.
Yes.
Yeah.
They are the Freedom Fiends although, hive mind. The Freedom Fiends worm.
Although this weekend, we're going to have this Saturday, we're having an hour and 20-minute interview with Ben Swan, the Edward R. Murrow, not Beavis R. Murrow, the Edward R. Murrow of our time, who's a very kick-ass guy. And then we are going to have a man on the street call in from Eddie Free and Lou, the Facebook admin, one of the admins of the Borg of the Fiends Freedom, from Baker's Green Acres. We're also going to try to get a bit from the farmer who owns Baker's Green Acres. So Saturday is going to be a great live Fiend. So be sure to tune in.
We need to start saying man on the road. Just as a shout out to the status instead of man on the street.
Well, I thought of another one today. This probably needs some tweaking, but children and roads, the roads to statism. Or statism and roads and roads, the road to roads.
Yes.
Yeah.
Schools and roads. You'll notice like whenever some big corporation is trying to get like some kind of thing from the state and they're doing like an ad campaign, they're like, well, we'll increase your tax base. That means more money for roads and schools.
Man. Walmart is still trying to put in stores in Washington, D.C. and getting so screwed. And I'm not really one to stick up for Walmart because they're pretty corporatist. But they also, you know, I think they do okay in this world of what they can do. And I don't even want to defend them like that. But basically.
Hey, do you shop there? That's
yeah,
that's the only
I shop
thing.
There.
I shop there. They provide a service that nobody else does as well as them.
And they're trying to. They've been trying for 3 years to put stores in. They've actually built the stores, but they haven't opened them yet. In the poorer parts of Washington, D.C., okay, in neighborhoods where people don't have stores they can buy good food in. I lived in Adams Morgan, the neighborhood they're trying to put one of them in, and it's like the only stores in that neighborhood are like liquor stores that sell like ramen noodles and stale fruit.
Right.
So like you can't buy reasonably priced good groceries there. Most of the people there don't have cars, and there's a lot of unemployment of people who'd like to work. They want to put a Walmart superstore in, which will solve all these problems. It will bring jobs to a neighborhood that desperately needs it. It will bring products and food to people who can't afford it, you know, and it will bring tax revenue. If you want to take the statist hat, it will bring tax revenue to the city that really is just falling apart and falling under.
Well, who's blocking them? Is it the city
council? It's the
like
city
a
council.
DC city
it's
council.
The city council added a law that required. It was basically aimed at Walmart, but the word Walmart was nowhere in it. They basically said any superstore of a company that is worth over $1 billion of any, they're putting in any store that's over 75,000 square feet. And they put an exception in for unionized grocery stores or any unionized store. So basically, Walmart has to pay $4 more than minimum wage, what they called a super minimum wage in DC. So basically, there are three almost completely built Walmarts in DC empty. And Walmart's just like, nah, man, we're going to tear it down brick by brick rather than let you guys do this to us.
This is so retarded. This just reminds me of plowing over crops during the Great Depression, man. There's people that need that economic activity, and there's people willing to give it to them. There's people willing to buy the services. The state is just keeping the two parties from doing what either of them wants to do. That's all it boils down to.
And we're not talking about the two political parties. We're talking about two parties in a what is it, an A B conversation. Can you see your way out of this? Yeah.
Yeah, the state needs to see its way out of the alphabet.
Yeah. You want to hear something dire about government intervention that's kind of funny but kind of effed up? Is eating of pets is still somewhat kind of common in rural China. That's not a racist statement.
Wait.
It's a fact.
Eating of pets. Well,
eating of animals, China. Dogs and cats raised for food. Sorry, let me rephrase that.
Right.
And people in the cities are trying to fight it. Young people are trying to pass laws. They're trying to boycott it. They're doing, street intervention kind of thing. But
what's the difference? This is my wife brings this up all the time.
Let me get.
No, you're supposed to use the code word, Michael. The code word.
Thank you for your call, Nima.
Not that one.
Which one?
I'm going some. Hey, man, I'm going somewhere with this.
Now there was a more subtle way we had of saying it. Thing. That's more like let me finish, goddammit. No, it's
I think there was a less subtle way we had. It was the fiend drone.
There was something that we had if we were going somewhere, we had a code to say to each other, and I don't remember what it was, and we've really like ripped back the curtain here. So let me just finish. Okay, so yeah, I have no moral problem with people raising any animal to eat it. If it's done humanely and I don't have to see it. But I find it really unpleasant. Now, here's the interesting stato aside I was going to say was that in Europe, that's really taboo. It's not done. Anything that's useful or pet-like, or basically pet-like or human-like, people don't like to eat in a lot of countries. But in Germany, they've had so many state interventions over the centuries that, you know, during times of famine from war, they will eat cats. And it's been so common in Germany, because wars are so common in Germany, that they have a phrase for it in German for cat as food that translates to English as blockade rabbit.
That's great, because cats are kind of similar to rabbits. They breed like rabbits, apparently.
Now,
I love it.
Here's where I was going with all this is there are things that are really unpleasant to my mind that I don't want to outlaw. And I thought of another example of one. I saw this Law and Order about this girl who had some genetic illness to where she like would never reach puberty. Like at 18, she looked, 8. And at 30, right, she was going to look 12. And her boyfriend, she was 18. Her boyfriend was 40. And, you know, a cop saw them making out and tongue kissing on the street and came over and, like, roughed the guy up and cuffed him. And then later found out she's of legal age. It was actually 17. It's New York State. Because they're perverts there, and they have 17.
it's 17 in Texas, too.
Yeah. Those really state of states where they like their young ladies, so they lower the age of consent. But anyway, I would be really grossed out seeing a 40-year-old guy make out with a girl that looks 8. But I don't see any – but they were actually saying there should be laws against it in this. Like, one of the cops was like, I don't care. There should be a law against that. And I'm like – you know, what? When she's 30, you're still not going to want her to be able to have sex? Like, you want a law against a woman ever having sex because she doesn't look right? Jesus.
Right. Yeah,
so, how would you even do that? Making out, older men making out with women who look like girls is creepy to me. And eating raised cats is creepy to me. But I'm a libertarian, so I can't say there should be a law against those things just because I don't like them. That's the point.
The law is creepier. I mean, even if you don't come at it from a principled point of view, isn't it creepier to have a police state? Isn't it creepier to have some random person come up to you and point a gun at you and tell you to stop doing one of those things?
I actually think that mushrooms and shotguns are a pretty creepy combination, but I don't see any you know, not having them. But if he has mushrooms and he's taking them, like, to me, being around a shotgun tripping would kind of freak me out. I'd be like, ugh, it's going to get me. Mm. Like, literally, like, not that I've ever done that stuff. I've read about it. But I don't know. I support the right.
Have you ever done any psychedelics?
I don't know if I can even say that anymore on here, man, because they could do some proactive laws.
some retroactive laws.
I've talked about that extensively in the past and on the live show.
Go look at our archives. And
there's no archives of our live show, so I can't be held accountable for. But you know, people who know. I haven't done any drugs since 1994. I'll say that.
Okay.
But I won't say if I ever did any drugs before that. But you know, people who say I've never done any drugs since July 7th, 1994, that are that specific, like I am. Probably did a lot of drugs if they had to memorialize the day they stopped. How's that?
Ah, okay. Fair enough. I'll let it slide. I'll allow it.
So, you can speak now, Nima. I'm done with my rant.
Fair enough.
And then let's tie it up and let's go to the market and let's come back and talk about the cargo cult of statism.
Why is it different raising cats to eat than little cute baby piggies or little cute baby cows?
You're asking idiots, not me, right? Or should I play the idiot and answer that?
Play whatever you want to play. I'm asking.
It's no difference, man. No difference.
Okay.
It's just really distasteful to me.
But cultural, it's just a different cultural meme.
I think people anthropomorphize their pets.
They do.
I attribute human attributes to my pets. I think it's good that people do things to prevent animal cruelty as long as it's not law-based, you know, shaming, things like that. But I think that a lot of what drives a lot of people who care about animals that way is like they had a bad childhood and they want to protect the unprotectable because no one protected them. I've seen that time and time again.
Their own issues.
I've seen that time
animals.
And time again. Yeah. Yeah. And it's not possible. A bad thing. It's just an explanation. But yeah. People don't generally eat primates because they're so intelligent and human-like too. You know, people don't want to eat anything that's too close to human, I think is what it is. And cats aren't really that human-like, but they are very affectionate with humans and they bond with humans. So they seem to have a human, you know, sort of a human-esque relationship with people. Like,
isn't the horrible conditions that people complain about with the modern meat processing industry, aren't those all a result of the state monopoly on that kind of a thing?
Probably. I mean Baker's Green Acres is nice. They're nice to pigs,
right.
And they grow them for food. But you know, they have better lives than they do in some factory farm. But you know, it's a fact that the laws that guy's being prosecuted under were pushed through by big agribusiness. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And but even though it's pushed through by big agribusiness, it's pushed through the state. The state is still mm-hmm. what sours that whole thing. If big agribusiness didn't have a state to beat Baker's Green Acres yeah. over the head with, they would have to try to outcompete him in a market. And I don't know if they could, at least not with his customers.
And think about
they like his product for a specific reason.
And think about the market share of big agribusiness and the market share of people of family farms. I mean, it's like 99-1, and they still have to beat yeah. out the 1%, the 1%, you know, the 1% minority that have something good.
Well, and why do you think it is the 1% minority? Because they beat them, they beat them out of the market whenever they come up. It's never allowed to catch on.
Yeah. And with that, let's go to the real market.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing. Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Nima.
Yeah.
So we started on the break right before we did this. I told you let me come back with my whole thesis, you know, but don't interrupt it or... Let me finish it and then we'll discuss it. It was like George Donnelly entered yes. my brain for a minute. Yes. I gave you the
you're possessed.
Okay. So
please, I am appointed to be the Freedom Fiend in charge right now, so I must be the one saying all the points about liberty.
Please listen to the whole thing.
Does George Donnelly talk that way? He looks like he would talk that way.
He does look kind of Boy Scoutish, kind of Melvinish.
Yes.
Yeah. Excuse me. I think Shield Proactive has a contract for this.
He's the White Urkel.
Can I do that? You can't.
Yeah. So, please let me say the whole thing. So here's my thesis. My thesis is there's a thing called a cargo cult. It's a sociological term for so-called primitive societies, often isolated island societies, first encountering modern technology and being vastly affected by it. Encountering modern technology, corporatism, war, capitalism, electronics. It's kind of parodied in the movie The Gods Must Be Crazy, where the Coke bottle falls into this primitive tribe in Africa from a low-flying private airplane. And they start to worship it, and they start to demand to have it. Each one want they never had a sense of possession before, and suddenly this thing from modern society taints them, and they all fight over it and actually become violent where they never were before. So a cargo cult, it's basically the idea of primitive societies being not able to deal with the future shock of another society coming in with a different, uh-huh. more advanced idea.
Something now, that just smashes the paradigms in one fell yeah. swoop. And they can't put the pieces back together.
Right. And the other day, David Kadria used a term we'd never heard that we really liked, that liberty was a technology. And I'm surprised we've never thought of it or heard of it, but it was pretty bold to me, and you liked it, and several people commented on really liking that. I think that the increase in tyranny these days of mechanized tyranny and technological tyranny and kicking in doors for having fungus, you know, and fungus and tubes. Yes. A shotgun's a tube, man. Fungus and
it's
tubes.
A tube.
I think that is a cargo cult reaction of the primitive status of the primitiveness of statism reacting in a really bizarre way to the modern new technology of open source liberty, of liberty being everywhere around the world. Everyone around the world is fighting to be free right now and free from the state. Yeah. You know, in Egypt and other places, they don't necessarily get it. They want to put in a better government, but some of them get it. We have a friend in Iran who's an anarcho-capitalist, and a lot of people in America, some of them are constitutionalists, but David Kadria pointed out, and I think I'm getting this right, what he said, summarizing it, was that you know, liberty is a technology. The Bill of Rights is an outmoded model, but it's sort of still working for now, and it's what we have. And you and I kind of took it further of relying on that old model is like saying, you know, you got to use this Pentium 1 with 256 megs of RAM because we still have it and it works, you know, like clinging to that old technology. I mean, I can see it. And I said it. I said, you know, my attitude on the Bill of Rights is if I'm thrown into a boxing ring with a bigger opponent, I want to know the rules, even if they're not always followed. And David Kadria said, you know, if I'm being punched, there's no rules. Any bar stool in a, you know, any stool in a bar fight. And he said it in broken Latin. And it's kind of funny. I looked it up. He has a thread where he's asking if anyone speaks Latin, and he came up with this term and wanted it translated into Latin for his sig line. It's pretty funny, but it's a great, I thought it was a phrase when he said it, any stool in a bar fight. I looked it up. It's not, you know, it's original. And so that is my premise, is that the increase in really aggressive government action everywhere on common citizens for things like shrooms and tubes and pigs is a cargo cult reaction to the influx of real liberty and them and the state not being able to deal with it all over the world.
Yeah, yeah. Makes sense to me, man. I thought it was genius when you first told me that idea. You know, and that's just it. And the thing about the Bill of Rights or the Constitution being some kind of old technology, you know, I brought this up in the interview that there are new versions of it. They might be piecemeal. So it's like you have, you know, everybody else has a Pentium 1 and they're all on the same internet infrastructure. But out there, there are people using, you know, the Intel i7s and high-end computers, you know, people using Bitcoin, people using different things that are open source, free-form, Linux-type stuff. And, you know, it's just that the whole world isn't using it yet. And I don't think it has to.
And the government's trying to stop it. They're like, oh, right. No, there's a vast advancement in liberty technology. We need to rein this in.
Right, yeah. Right.
Read about the Pacific cargo cults of World War II. Did I send you this?
You did indeed.
It's a good example of cargo cults in history.
Cargo.
I didn't send it to you yet.
No,
I will send
it
to you.
You did. I got caught off in wormholes because it mentioned
you were going
Vanuatu.
Somewhere. You were going somewhere.
I was going somewhere. All right. Pacific cults of World War II. The most widely known period of cargo cult activity occurred among the Melanesian Islanders in the years during and after World War II. A small population of indigenous peoples observed, often right in front of their dwellings, the largest war ever fought by technologically advanced nations. Yeah, can you imagine
that? Think about
that.
If the only weapon you had was a bow and arrow, and World War II landed in your doorstep, that would be like
watch it go by.
That would be like UFOs coming to my house and bringing me technology.
Would. Yeah,
it really would.
And making you the libertarian emperor
of the
solar
world.
System.
Yes,
yes.
Bringing me my mutual shield to control all the tyrants by telling them what not to do.
Well, okay, so vast amounts of material that both sides airdropped to troops on these islands meant drastic changes to the lifestyle of the islanders, many of whom had never seen outsiders before. Manufactured clothing, medicine, canned foods, tents, weapons, and other goods arrived in vast quantities for the soldiers, who often shared some of it with the islanders who were their guides and hosts. This was true of the Japanese army as well, at least initially before relations deteriorated in most regions. So not only that, but this magical stuff was just falling from the sky.
Yeah,
and these strange outsiders would talk to a magic thing in their hand, and they'd get goods falling from the sky. The John Frum cult, one of the most widely reported and longest lived, formed on the island of Tana, Vanuatu. That's the wormhole I fell down. Vanuatu is a really cool, I guess it's an archipelago of islands.
Keep reading. You're getting to the get to the important part here.
I'll get to the important part, and then we'll go on.
I'll see your wormhole.
This cult started before the war and only became a cargo cult afterwards. Cult members worshipped certain Americans, such as John Frum and Tom Navy, who had brought cargo to their island during World War II, as the spiritual entity who would provide the cargo to them in the future. So they actually thought that John Frum and Tom Navy would come again and bring them more goodies.
Yeah. And
wow.
So my analogy isn't really complete, but it is similar. It's kind of like the people running these wars of kicking in doors for, you know, tubes and fungus do worship, but they worship kind of the old new technology, you know?
Yeah, I guess that's where there's kind of a disconnect is these people on the islands were worshiping the new stuff that they found. In our world, the state is not worshiping. They're fearful.
I could see statists saying that libertarians are a cargo cult because they're worshiping things like Bitcoin as what can save the world.
Huh. Yeah, there you go.
We're fair we're fair and balanced here on the Fiends. We see both sides.
There you go. Yeah. But I think the point you were trying to make was how it can cause a social stress when there's some new kind of thing that the society hasn't seen or has been widespread or experienced before. Then it can cause this inner turmoil. And obviously, the people who are doing well in the current status quo are going to feel threatened by any of the newcomers and what the future holds, right? I mean, if you're making $1 million a year and you're driving a nice car, you don't care about activism. You don't want things to change.
Read this part's great. With the end of the war, the military abandoned the air bases and stopped dropping cargo. In response, charismatic individuals developed cults among the remote Melanesian Polynesians that promised to bestow their followers delivery of food, arms, jeeps, etc. The cult leader – these are actual cults. That's the thing I'm getting at. The cult leaders explained that the cargo would be gifts from their own ancestors or other sources. Yeah, man. In attempts to get cargo to fall by parachute or land in planes again, islanders imitated the same practices they had seen soldiers, sailors, and airmen use. Cult behaviors usually involved mimicking the day-to-day activities and dress styles of U.S. soldiers, such as performing parade ground drills with wooden toy or like fake, you know, a piece of driftwood as a rifle or salvaged rifles.
Yeah. Yeah.
The islanders carved headphones from wood and wore them while sitting in fabricated control towers. Which I wonder if that's an influence on Gilligan's Island, because they're always trying to make like the coconut radio to contact the outside world.
Maybe.
They lit signal fires and torches to light up runways and to create light runways and lighthouses. Wow.
And many built life-size replicas of airplanes out of straw, cut new military-style landing strips out of the jungle. They thought, you know, if we make a landing strip,
they will come.
The planes will come.
If we make a strip, they will come. That's a wet sidewalks cause rain idea right there.
Mm-hmm.
So wet sidewalks cause rain.
This even happened.
Wet sidewalks cause rain is a primitive ideology, and that's what most liberals believe in most of their logic. So, yeah.
Right. Oh,
a lot of conservatives, too. Yeah. So it's a good one. It's a good one. We would like
it is.
Listener feedback. We don't really want it, but yeah. All right.
We'll accept it.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone who is a more successful radio host than us or, you know, has been doing a lot longer but has a lot more affiliates than we do and makes a living at it already, was trying to tell me on the phone the other day about, like, yeah, what we need to do. And one of the things was, like, you need to open up the phones and just take calls for the whole show. And I'm like, yeah, we don't really want to do that. We don't really want to hear what people have to say. They should hear what we have to say. And he's like, that is not going to make you popular fast. And I'm like, I don't care. I don't want – the people should listen to the Fiends. The Fiends don't need to listen to the people.
I don't know. We could do it every now and then.
I know. We have interviews every now and then. We'll take calls eventually when we're on live on more stations. We're on delayed on most of the stations. Like,
right,
you know, they fit us in where they could because they liked us. But,
yeah,
you know, if we gave out the number now, nobody would call and it would be embarrassing. Huh. So, yeah.
Here's the interesting tangent I thought of. The reason I fell down a wormhole is Vanuatu rung a bell, and I remembered that that's where there's a giant hole in the earth that lava pours out of constantly. Like, not like Hawaii, where it's a slow drizzle down a volcano, but an actual hole they call the lava lake.
Wow.
That's on Vanuatu. And that's got to be, like, I would worship that, you know?
Yeah, that's more impressive.
Screw some MREs and some olive crab, man.
and some coconut headphones. I'll bet they use coconuts to make those headphones.
Yeah. But I guess that's kind of the point, is something that you grew up with or know of, even if it's something amazing, something majestic, if it's become routine to you,
right,
or just
right.
something you know exists, it's like, not going to be as mind-blowing as the mundane paraphernalia of a different culture.
You're like, oh, yawn, the lava flow. Yeah, the constant lava flow.
The giant lake of lava, the fire pit that leads directly to hell.
Yeah, oh, yawn. Oh, man, I want a tube radio from those soldiers. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I want that peanut butter in the little plastic package.
Yeah. You know where I found out about cargo cults? This is kind of interesting. I was researching ideas of people to call to sell ads to, and one was movie studios, because movie studios have more money than God, always have a product to promote, and like to do weird kind of promotions. And I think
why are they still so rich though? Don't all movies suck now? Like my wife was actually contemplating going to the movie theater the other day, because she's pregnant and she hates going to the movies. It's not her favorite thing unless it's like something
she's having a weird craving, because she's pregnant, she's craving a movie in a theater.
I guess but we looked up and it was like stuff that just sounded awful.
I think,
like,
the government is financing it all now, because aren't all movies free on the internet now anyway? I mean, what's their business model? But and they spend all this money on like really weird promotions, and one of them is that I found is this great movie. I really like it. It's called 2012.
It was I think I saw most of it, if not the whole thing.
It was directed by the guy who did Independence Day. I forget his name, but it's a disaster movie. And, you know, every disaster movie has two characters in every one of them. One is the scientist that knows what's going to happen and no one believes it. And one is the kook who knows what's going to happen and no one believes it. And in this movie, the kook is played by Woody Harrelson. And he's playing a talk show host who's kind of like a hippie Alex Jones meets George Norrie. And he does
when he was researching the role, that's what eventually led him down
when he became an anarchist? Maybe. Probably. Because there is some Alex Jones in this. And he probably...
Yeah.
But he kind of looks like me, and he really kind of looks and acts like me playing this kooky talk show host. He does a shortwave radio show that has listeners around the world, and he does it from his mobile camper where he lives. He's like Ben Stone, you know, he's driving around the country solving mysteries, literally. And he ends up in Yellowstone. There's a really funny scene where the scientist, played by John Cusack, leaves L.A. with his family, saves their life by going, you know, but he goes to Yellowstone in Wyoming, and it's closed, and he kind of sneaks in. It's closed, like, and there's Marines all around the entrances keeping people out, and it's not supposed to be closed. Mm-hmm. And, like, he sneaks in, and they catch him. And there's all these like scientists in lab coats around down around near Old Faithful, and a bunch of Marines guarding them with M16s. And, you know, they catch him and they're like, what are you doing? He asks the Marines and the scientists, like, what are you doing? And he's like, they're like, we can't tell you. He's like, no, really, what are you doing? And they're like, geology. And he says, do you always do geology with machine guns? Which, and I'm thinking, like, it's the government. Of course they do geology with machine guns, you know.
They do everything with machine guns.
But Woody Harrelson plays this really kind of likable kook who does this show. And as a promotion for the movie, they made a bunch of YouTube videos and radio spots that they sold ads for.
That were supposed to be like segments of the show.
Yeah. And let me play this play one, because I really kind of liked it. It was really, really funny. I wish you could see it, but you can hear it. And it's Woody Harrelson and it's friggin' hilarious. Here we go. All right.
I'm Charlie Frost, apocalypse prognosticator and straight shooter. Look, you all know I believe the world's going to end in 2012. Consequently, I've heard a lot of crackpot theories, but this sucker took my breath away.
Hi, Charlie. This is Michiko in Tokyo. I recently won a popular reality TV show. In developing my competitive strategy, it got me to thinking reality TV is a perfect incubator for natural selection. Only the strong, smart, and selfish survive. And when the end comes, those qualities will determine who the authorities pick to save. What do you think?
What do I think? What do I think? I think you're a clinically insane fascist, Machiko. That's what I think. Look, I love a good conspiracy theory as much as the next delusional paranoiac, but there's no way reality TV is some top secret natural selection.
Yeah, anyway, it goes on, and it's kind of funny because actually he's wrong. She's actually right in the context of the movie. Yeah,
I didn't remember that. What else I don't remember is what caused the world to end. Did they ever explain
just
that?
2012, man. I mean, it's like it's the Mayan calendar. Yeah,
to 2012.
Yeah, and okay. It's like, you know, earthquakes, lava flows in downtown LA, meteors hitting the earth. It's like everything that nature can do to extinguish humanity all happens at once. You know, Yellowstone erupts. Yeah, it's a good time, man. Earthquakes in LA. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was a good popcorn movie, but I always want a movie to explain to me the why more than I want to see the cool images and hear about the how or learn about the how. Like, explain to me, like, what's making the world explode all the time. That would have been more interesting, I think. But yeah, it was fun anyway.
Yep. Yep.
Yep. Yep. Woody Harrelson.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, where do you want to go today?
Where do I want to go today?
Yeah.
Where do you want to go today?
Tubes. Tubes and fungus, the road to freedom. Guns and, should be guns and shrooms or guns and fungus? Guns and fungus, the road to SWAT.
So, are they going to charge Kokesh with anything else?
I don't know.
Did they really do a SWAT raid just to charge some guy with possession of mushrooms? Like, that would be big news, I think. They're going to have to do something else, aren't they? I mean, I guess they threw him in jail the other time. What was it? For resisting arrest? Like, that was the charge?
You know what's a weird...
But they didn't say what he was resisting, why they were trying to arrest him in the first place.
You know what's weird is how, like, it has become a thing of, like, you know, if you used to work for the government and now you don't, you're a big threat. Because that used to kind of be a plot in a lot of movies. I doubt that'll happen much anymore of, like, good guys. Like, I just saw this movie last night. Really good popcorn movie. The Negotiator with Samuel L. Jackson. He basically plays a police negotiator who's screwed over by some other cops and they try to frame him for stealing a bunch of money. From the police pension fund, and he goes into like the police station in Chicago and takes a bunch of police hostage, and he's the good guy in it. You know, I don't think that would work anymore. Oh, you know,
well, there's also Shooter, which you made me watch, which was amazing. It was a former sniper.
I made you watch.
You convinced
me to watch. That was one of our first dates, actually.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I think we bonded over that.
But there,
you know,
there's a Dick Cheney character, and this guy who used to work for the government ends up making
a senator. He was a Montana senator, and the hero shoots him in the back. No, he's about to shoot him in the back. He actually shoots him in the front and then blows up his cabin.
I know he was a senator, not vice president, but he had a real Dick Cheney
He looked like Dick Cheney, man. He totally, they cast a guy that looked like Dick Cheney and acted like Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
Who was like, you know, doing illegal war crimes to protect an oil interest, which I'm not saying that's acting like Dick Cheney because he lives up the street and could like send a tsetse fly dart drone over to kill me and people think I just OD'd on caffeine and nicotine. But allegedly, people accuse Cheney of things like that constantly. Let's say that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man.
He's sitting in his bunker in Jackson listening to me and he's like calling somebody and like, Deploy the mosquito drone, and it's gonna like fly through my air conditioning vent and put curare in my blood.
Could send a SWAT team to Adam Kokesh's house for a 20-second YouTube video. I mean, really, what's next? What's next?
Well, I've been a little nervous today. I'll tell you that.
It just blows my mind. I mean, it's a YouTube video. I don't understand. I thought that we at least had some modicum of free speech.
What still, if
at least with people who had, you know, repute of some sort? I mean, I know there's been the gamer kids thrown in jail for making these idle threats.
Let me ask you this. What if, you know, we were wondering if it was green screened, and like offering our expert testimony of, well, it could be, could not be, who knows. You know, and people actually took us to task, like, man, you're doing bad things to Adam. You're that video's real, man. Don't be saying that that's faked. What if it turned out in court?
We didn't say it was fake.
But what if it turned out in court
that somebody said it was fake?
What if it turned out in court that, like, that podcast of ours became evidence of experts on his side proving that it was faked? Now, let me ask you this. What if it was faked? What if he can absolutely prove it was faked? It wouldn't help his case as a liberty fighter. It might, though, because, you know, it still got him droned, got him swatted.
Well, that's why they're not charging him with anything but mushrooms. I mean, that was probably the point of the raid anyway, was let's just go raid his house. We'll have some justification because we can say he was making threats, and it's just a big fishing expedition.
See, I assume
Adam Kokesh will find
something. So they've not charged him with any gun crime yet. No, they charged him with possession of mushrooms while possessing a gun. That's what it said in the Washington Post.
It did. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those multiplier crimes of this inanimate object, this tube with this fungus.
Yes. This plus this, you get bonus points. Yeah. It's a combo, like in Marvel Super Heroes versus Street Fighter.
And they didn't say that it was a shotgun. They said it was a gun. So maybe the shotgun was fake or borrowed or off-site, and they found another gun. Who knows? But I wonder now, if you made a video that was green-screened and looked absolutely real of you committing a crime, and you'd faked committing the crime with movie magic and put it on the internet, if they could charge you with anything.
Right.
Like making, you know, scaring the population.
Or at the very least, send a SWAT team to your house and see what they can find, right?
Yeah. You know what, man? If they took all my equipment, it would suck. But I could be up and running in an hour. I could. I'm so smart.
An hour?
I could a day. I could go to Walmart and get a laptop. I mean, I can get such good. I could go to Walmart and get a laptop and, like, you know, a $10 headset and be up and running in a day. Hell, right. At this point, we could do the show from phones because GCN has the ability to patch in phones in a way that sounds a lot better than anything we can do at home because they have all the expensive rack mount gear.
We wouldn't sound like the fiends, but we could.
We'd be the fiends.
Talk like the fiends.
Yeah. Hey,
yeah,
you know,
we'd be the fiends.
When people have breaking news, it doesn't matter what the fidelity of it is. You know, when
that's true.
When
we used to do phoners at K2, you
yeah.
know,
I mean, in war,
big fire.
Think about it as a war. They're at war with us. You know, if all you put it this way, there was cell phone footage of Saddam being hanged and they put it on the news. They didn't say, oh, this isn't of good enough video quality. We're not going to put this on the news. We're a high def station.
Yeah. It's become SOP. I see it all the time on local news. They'll just do a courtesy, and they'll have the YouTube handle of the YouTube channel.
What? Yeah.
You know,
what's
courtesy?
Yeah.
Sleeps with pigs one, or whatever it is.
Works, you know? For pigs one. Yeah. You know the. Yeah, that just kind of like reinforces what I've said of all the mainstream media does now is points people
to the internet.
Yeah.
Yes.
And today on the internet, I mean, that's what they do. They're just a link farm.
One big link farm with no links.
Yeah.
They're on TV.
They're just the gatekeeper to tell you what happened on the internet today that they want you to see. Yeah.
Yeah. Although there is something to be said for letting people know things when they're busy, right? I mean, that's why I like radio better than video, is because radio you can do
you
while
can ride
you're
a
doing
bike.
Other stuff.
You can't watch TV while riding a bike, or you really shouldn't drive a truck.
Yeah.
I don't want you driving on my street while watching TV.
Yeah, unless you have it in the steering wheel like Ludacris and Fast.
I still
and
don't want you watching it while you're driving on my street.
I wonder if they're going to when Google is it called Google Vision or Google Eyes? Those glasses.
It's the EYE phone from Futurama, basically.
Yeah. I wonder if they'll have checkpoints for those to make sure you're not wearing those while you're driving.
No, your refrigerator will tattle on you if you're not wearing them at home while you sleep.
The It was no refusal weekend last weekend, 4th of July weekend in Texas. Do they have that in Wyoming now?
I don't know what that is. It sounds heinous, though.
They have checkpoints. I like DUI to refuse. Checkpoints. You're not allowed. Basically, it's a weekend where they say, sorry, the Bill of Rights is null and void. Well, you have no Fifth Amendment rights.
I don't really want to answer that, and here's why. I don't want any more people to move to Wyoming, but here's a fact. DUI checkpoints are illegal in Wyoming.
Who gets to enforce that? Cops?
No, but I mean, like, they can't set up and stop cars at random. They can't do it here. It's illegal. I mean, they can, if they pull you over for something else and think, you know, if you're driving erratically and they pull you over, they can take your blood now, and they've had five cops hold someone down and do it. But I like that they can't have DUI checkpoints here. That's sort of a, like, it's still a little bit freer here than other places. But, you know, they're racing to get rid of that. As Gerald Gay complained when he was trying to pass some anti-drunk driving laws, he said, people in Wyoming think it's their birthright to drink and drive.
I can see that. Okay. I'm on a law blog.
Law blog. Bob Law's law blog?
Yeah. Yeah, because it blew my wife's mind that there was a such thing as a no-refusal weekend. Like,
I thought you were going to say it blew her mind that there was a law thing as a law blog.
No. No, they advertise it on the radio. They're like, hey, guys, no rights here. And welcome to Texas. And on Independence Day, you know, it's Independence Day weekend. Remember, it's no-refusal. Apparently the law blog, though, says no refusal weekends or holidays are really no different than every day in Texas. A police officer is always able to request a warrant to draw your blood, regardless of if it is a no refusal weekend or not.
In Wyoming, they issued all the cops government-issued iPads so they could get written warrants electronically on the spot. Think about the waste of that. I saw a funny and horrifying waste today, and it's like, It's a U.S. Army thing over in Afghanistan, and it's kind of a moot point. It's like, this is a drop in the bucket compared to the whole war and the cost and immorality of the war. But they built a building, like a computer center in Afghanistan for U.S. troops, and you know, giant building, like, you know, the size of a Walmart or something, and built office spaces in it and wired it for electricity, and then decided they weren't going to be in that region anymore and pulled out, and they were going to bulldoze it instead of turning it over to the Afghans or whatever. They were going to bulldoze it. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the really funny thing about it. They not only spent all this money making something to bulldoze it later, they wired it with 110-volt wiring when every piece of equipment in Afghanistan is 210. It's 220.
What? So you couldn't use anything in the building? Yes. Or you had to have adapters or what?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Wow. It's just so ridiculous, man. I just can't even fathom it. But was this a freedom fix or not? I caught a piece of this. Have you heard any more of this, that the United States is considering pulling out all troops from Afghanistan next year? Is this just like a teaser, Obama? Is this like pillow talk?
For they're all coming home and being parked on the street, on your street?
Maybe. Afghan officials apparently are expressing skepticism, but that's the first time they'd ever even mentioned going that far. So I guess that's kind
of
progress,
It sounds like a freedom fix to me, but it can't possibly be because it came from the government. I mean, it's either going to be we're going to send them all to Africa, or we're going to send them all to Detroit and Los Angeles and Casper and Austin, or something. I don't know. And also, do they ever just pull them out?
Well, maybe the freedom fix. I don't think there's a freedom fix in what he's saying, because I guess Carney, the press guy, says there's no imminent decision. But at least it's not political suicide. So maybe that's the freedom fix, is that it's come, you know, it's taken that long because that's how top-down state structures work. It takes that long for the information to go up the pipe, because people have hated the Afghan war by a majority for years and have wanted the U.S. to pull out. But at least now it's not political suicide in Washington to say something like that, if they're even going to hint it or tease at it.
Speaking of political suicide, have you heard the thing about how, like, the Obama administration has suddenly said everyone or employers will have another year to implement Obamacare? the reason that the conservatives are giving, and I believe this, of why they're doing it, is they want to postpone the worst parts of it, the hardest to comply parts of it. They're going to ruin everything until after the 2014 midterm elections. And there's an interesting thing with the legality of them doing that. Basically, Obama doesn't have the legal right to do what he's doing. He's basically saying there's a law, but you don't have to comply for a year. And literally, people who do what he says and don't comply on time could be prosecuted for not complying. And maybe they'll selectively enforce those with prosecutions.
So it's horrid regime uncertainty, but I mean, isn't that the whole point of the executive branch? Is they're the they are the gun, you know?
They
the
are
legislature
the
is the suggestors.
They're the regime uncertainty branch of government, and that's the same thing that happened with that Walmart thing. It's like, you know, Walmart spends all this time building something to bring jobs and commerce to an area that's lacking in it.
And Obama then, says, you shouldn't have built that. No, I guess not Obama, but city council.
And then seven people decide and vote, we're not going to do that. We're going to charge you, you know, we're going to make it unfeasible for you.
Yeah.
Man, minimum wages just destroy commerce. And super minimum wages seem to really destroy commerce. Super minimum wage.
Yeah. Well, it's the old saying, the old thought experiment. If minimum wage works, why don't we just make everybody get $1 million an hour? That'll really fix things, won't it?
It sounds like lefty talk, but no, it is a sound economic thought experiment of how it's done wrong. Yeah. Why it doesn't work.
That's Austrian talk. That's saying, hey,
think about the consequences. You're right. Yeah. All right, let's go to the market and make some money.
All right.
Worms.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
So right. Nima, now that our new best friend Ben Swan, I talked with Ben Swan on the phone the other day for an hour. It was pretty enlightening and amazing. And I can't talk about what we talked about because it's something in the works that may not be in the works that may be in the works, and I can't talk about it. But I talked to him.
Yeah.
Called him in Cincinnati or Cleveland or wherever he lives. And
you know, and we decided to interview him on something like what I think it was Saturday or Friday of last week. And then Scott Horton had him on Monday. So I know he's doing kind of a junket, but
I think Scott Horton's tapping our houses.
No. He said the same thing I said when we decided to interview him. Like, why haven't we done that before? Like, why? I don't get it.
Scott Horton's tapping your house, man.
I'm kidding.
He would never do that.
Yeah, he doesn't need to. I tap his house via listening to his show all the time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
and he'll listen to us when you send him a thing saying we said good things about you.
Yeah.
And then he'll mispronounce my name. But hey,
he will. So I've been looking at Kickstarter with a different mind than I used to. I bashed some guy for using it, and I'll still bash him for using that because it was automated cyber begging for a comic book to hire people to make a comic book, and I'm like, why can't you just do that, man? Because I don't know, because I wrote all these books on how to do stuff for nothing, and I got people to work for free. No, before the internet, I did, and it's pretty easy. It's not easy, but I like motivating people, and, you know, that guy was arguing with me of like, no, I want to pay people money. I don't want to get people to work free. That's ripping them off. And I'm like, no, it's not, because they're doing it for free. And they know they're doing it for free. And, you know,
they're getting free training. That's what you call it.
That is
free training.
I have a lot of knowledge to pass on. And when people work for free, they can. And here's two things we need. One is we need another computer programmer. The guy who's doing it, he's a great programmer, but he's so busy with his family, he can't really do it. He's done some of the work, and I have the source code. So if there's a Windows programmer out there, write us at talkback@freedomfiends.com. And send us a link to your resume or something to do this free work for us. It's basically free work to change the world. And you will get full credit in it, and it'll be given away freely. What's it called? Open source. Yeah, that thing.
Yeah.
And so, and it's really simple, and some of the work's already done. So we need that. Doesn't pay. And we also need a couple people who have experience with cold calling who want to work on commission doing ad sales for the Fiends. And
yeah, that does pay.
That does pay.
If you get the money.
Yeah, if you get the money. You get – yeah, we'll talk about it. It's a good percentage. And write to us if you have experience doing cold calling or sales. Yeah. And there's not a lot of room for advancement, but there's room to make money. So, well, there's room to make more money as we add affiliates and can charge more for ads. So, yeah, that's two things we need. Now, I started looking at Kickstarter again with a different idea, a different outlook of instead of just, oh, that's just liberals begging for money to support their rock band. My rock band made money because we were good.
Was it seeing Ben Swan's success is so far?
Yes. Yeah, Ben Swan. And I actually, you and I were kind of not laughing at Angel Clark, but kind of going like, wow, really? Because Angel Clark had a Kickstarter campaign that was unsuccessful. She had a $20,000 goal. She raised $1,428. The way that Kickstarter works is you don't make any of the money if you don't meet your goal. Nobody, they don't keep it. You know, basically like people pledge to give the money. It's called a provisional point mechanism, and it's actually a libertarian construct. It's a game theoretic mechanism of financing technology and also of activist technology. The Free State Project is based on the same idea, provisional point mechanism of if 20,000 people pledge to move, everybody who pledged moves. And you know, so far like 1,000 people have moved anyway, or more than 1,000 people. Although I don't know
and it's all voluntary and the consideration is delayed.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's called an assurance contract or a provisional point mechanism. And it's how the Free State Project pledging works. And it's how Kickstarter works. So,
well, Angel Clark wanted to broaden it out to a bigger radio show. What we did is we just asked for some money and we got a little bit more than what she had asked for. But that was all we needed, because all we really needed was a Comrex.
Angel Clark should have talked to me first, because we spent –
and figured out the cheap gear to buy. I spent
$3,000 on my end, and you spent, and that's including the compass we got, $200 for your end. And you spent $99 on a mic. You've since upgraded to a better mic, but we were doing a radio show on radio for $3,100. And I don't know why she was asking for $20,000, because she didn't really have a clear explanation of what it was for, like, you know, computers and stuff and better equipment. And like, she talked a lot about, I think this is part of why she didn't make her funding, was she had a lot of figures and numbers and her Facebook ranking and all this stuff, but she didn't really say what she was going to do with the money. And I know she's an ethical person, but in, you know, basically Kickstarter is open source. What's the word?
People want to know what they're paying for. Like those old infomercials in late night TV where you sponsor a little African boy. You get a picture of the little African boy, right?
Yeah.
It's the same concept. People want to know what they're paying for. Even if it's charity, if they like what you're doing, but let them know. You send us a picture of the mic we're going to be paying for, Angel, or the Comrex or whatever it is.
And
you did. That's what you put on the Fiends blog.
Yeah. And she does say, I mean, with Kickstarter, you have to say what the people will get out of it. And it's like, you know, if you pledge $3 or more, we'll thank you. $10 or more, more thanks and a bumper sticker. $25 or more, a keychain. And thanks. And like, you know, it goes up to like, you know, $5,000 or more, like, you know, business grade ultimate.
Old fashioned, you know, and a kiss on the forehead.
No, like, you know, she'll put ads on her show when she gets this theoretical radio show. The thing is, I don't know where she was planning, what she was going to do. It doesn't say if she's talking about making her internet radio show more popular she just says radio show. And to me, that means terrestrial radio, which either involves licensing and buying a transmitter, or doing pirate radio illegally and buying a transmitter, or which you couldn't say you were going to do. And I don't think that's what she was talking about. You can't say you're going to do anything illegal and kickstart for it. Or she, you know, I don't know if she, as far as I know, GCN is not taking her on. So I don't know what she was talking about. There was very little information. There was a lot of numbers and a lot of figures about her popularity and about how important Liberty is, which I agree about both those things. But there was really nothing about what she was going to do the money with the money, other than buy equipment. I mean, what does that mean? That's and
what equipment?
That's why
buy equipment every day.
That's why she. That's why she didn't. That's why she didn't succeed, I think. Now, Ben Swan, I'm wondering if he's going to succeed because he's trying to raise $1.25 million.
Wow.
Which is pretty damn mind-blowing. And I'm, you know, we're going to ask him about why he did such a high thing on it. But the mind-blowing thing is he's raised $250,000. Now,
yeah.
His thing is a lot more slick and actually says what he's going to do with it. Which is produce X number of 5-minute news video packages on truth, on true stories, for at $5,000 each. Now, I sent him a 5-minute news package you did for $5, you know, the price of gas and a sandwich in Austin that was pretty damn newsy to me. And not saying he should hire you to do them. I think he's talking about he producing them, but I'm still thinking like it doesn't cost $5,000 for an experienced newsman like him to produce. And I'm not saying he's doing it wrong or scamming or anything like that. I'm saying like, why would it cost that much? Maybe to pay people to do it, but I don't know. Maybe he wants to have a staff in an office and I don't know, but who knows? But I'm
amazed.
You know
what I want, though? I mean, I think it's great that he has decided to go out on his own. I mean, and he's a name, and he can make it big, you know, maybe make a living at it. And Ron Paul's doing some kind of internet channel, the Ron Paul channel. I think at least it's going to be an internet channel. But I don't know. I think the problem isn't getting truth on the internet. There's lots of truth on the internet. It's already there. The problem is people who come home and they turn on the boob tube. It's called the boob tube for a reason. I think if you're trying to fix the symptom of the idiocy or the ignorance
of mainstream
of the
media,
person,
you have to use the delivery mechanism of mainstream
exactly,
media.
Exactly, because that's the problem. Because people don't believe it unless TV tells them. And so I think what somebody needs to do is do a Kickstarter for a cable channel.
Well,
carrier would carry and you could, you know, DVR it and
you
watch
can buy, it. You can buy cable time. I mean, you can buy, and it's not like you have to pay ad price for the whole thing. Like you can buy a channel on Dish Network that is delivered into a lot of homes in America, but it'll be like channel 5,286 on Dish, and it's still going to cost you $80,000 a month or something like that. But somebody could raise that on Kickstarter, but then what do they have? They have something that, you know, plays on your TV for old people who have Dish that can't use the internet, that's not going to get that many more views than, you know, I don't know what the answer is. Actually, though, I know the answer, and I've been talking to Ben Swan about it, and we can't talk about it yet. That's what I spent an hour talking with Ben Swan about.
Does it have to do with radio? You know, I think radio is part of the answer.
Don't
Hey, you're making it worse. I'm just talking in our conversation here. This is a discussion over what can fix the problem.
Oh, I'm sorry. There was my radiator was leaking because, you know, it's so cold in Wyoming here. It's only 91 degrees out, so I'm running my radiator. That was my radiator going.
Apparently. Well, you know, I guess the thing is, you're right. It would cost a whole lot of money to have some kind of TV channel. But, you know, you can make money on radio and you can be listened to by a lot of people. And the startup cost, as you've proven through getting us on radio, isn't that much. It's
well, you need my smarts,
to
too. I mean, if you just buy all this equipment, you're never going to have to you're never going to figure out how to hook it up.
People can figure it out. That's what.
No, well, I guess I am the only person who can use the cargo cult technology of mass produced electronics. I'm George Donnelly. Damn it!
You're not allowed to. Yes. I'm sorry. Do you have a radio show where you talk about ways to create audio for cheap? You can't do that. See, the fiends do that.
You know, there's actually a guy that was a hater. I could see George Donnelly like sending me an email that says, I heard that you're talking about anarcho-capitalism on the radio. I had that idea 15 years ago. You need to talk to me about it.
Yes, yes.
There was actually,
you can come work for me, but you can't do your own show.
There's actually a guy that used to like hater on me on the Prairie Pravda, the local paper, on their website. For a while, I was registered on there and commenting, and I just gave it up. I'm like, this is an impediment. And then I met you and was like, let's go make some real media. Let's not argue with illiterate idiots. And there's this guy in Wyoming who's like rich because his parents are rich, and he lives at home at like age 45 and is a true believer leftist and loves to argue with anyone who's not a leftist on the internet and like make threats and tell them to put their gun in their mouth and pull the trigger. And just a really heinous, like possibly mentally unbalanced guy.
Possibly. Well, I think he proved it there.
Well, I'm going to go into talking about how litigious he is next. And I haven't said his name, but I don't even remember his name, but I did some research on the guy. He actually filed a lawsuit on his own in California against YouTube because he said, you know, and he provided documents and stuff and tried to file this lawsuit, filed it in the court in the county where YouTube's located. And, basically, hang on, let me shut the door.
My wife's sneezing. I was holding them back myself.
And said he tried to sue YouTube because he said, I had the idea to put video on the internet and provided like a Google archive of a website where he'd posted a couple QuickTime videos like a year before YouTube started. And it wasn't YouTube, man. It was, you know, and I posted videos on the internet before YouTube, like in 1996. When did YouTube start? But that's absurd, man. Trying to sue, and it got, you know, it didn't even make it to court. It got thrown out on some technicality for how he filed it or something. But yeah, I mean, the guy actually tried to sue
like
YouTube.
The guy that was suing real companies and had, you know, actual court battles over. He said he invented podcasting. The concept of podcasting because you would have a list, you know, kind of like an RSS feed. You'd have a list of multimedia content. No, that's not the way it works.
And
guy.
this guy,
that's a good idea. I had that idea.
And this guy was like, I mean, that guy actually scared some people. That guy actually had a lawyer and a law firm and was sending out cease and desists and almost getting it to court. I don't know where that is now. I haven't seen much on it. I think it just kind of like got laughed at or something. But
people are scared of it, though. Like, still? Some people think that the internet is going to break because of this guy, that the podcasting will stop.
Okay. Well, nobody was ever, ever, ever afraid of the guy I'm talking about. Now, okay. Interesting. Digital copyright, DMCA, Digital Millennium Copyright Act. Actually, there have been a bunch of worthy projects on Kickstarter that have been thrown off because somebody filed a DMCA or a DCMA. And like literally, if you have some great idea that's really worthwhile, will help people want to fund it, and it's a great idea, if somebody sends an official letter written by a lawyer to Kickstarter that is a DMCA takedown request, Kickstarter will take down your project. How effed is that, man? It doesn't even have to have merit. And, you know,
really?
If you counter it in court and it gets thrown out, you know, the person is not able to prosecute you. Kickstarter will put your thing back up starting
after
where it left off.
After months of legal action.
Yeah. And you won't be able to capitalize on whatever you had at the time. You know, like let's say you come up with some great idea. You're doing a quick Kickstarter thing. Wired Magazine writes about you and millions of people are looking at your Kickstarter and it's starting to get funding and it's almost there. And some idiot troll sends a takedown notice. Kickstarter will take it down until you settle it in court with that person. Isn't that effed? Wow. That's the state. Effed. So basically, yeah. Like, and Kickstarter took down Cody Wilson's thing because it was about guns. But the thing is, I think there's something in their terms of service that you can't do gun-funded gun projects. So, right. You know.
But this is a model, this concept of an insurance contract. You know, and the wiki page, they say it could facilitate the voluntary creation of public goods in the face of the free rider problem.
Yeah.
And that's totally true. Who would build the roads? People who decided to based on some kind of assurance contract.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right there. The answer is right there in people's faces. And it's already being used for things like comic books and Ben Swan videos.
Yeah, so I'm revising my previous statement, my vague complaint about Kickstarter. And
good to see that the fiends can learn new things and old dogs can learn new tricks.
Which, you know, somebody listening in a cursory way might be like, oh, so Ben Swan's doing it, so it's okay. All right. we see how you are.
Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah. This is Ben Swan. Yeah. Duh.
And Ben Swan is a, you know, small government constitutionalist. He's not someone who's what I believe as evolved as we are politically. But I just love the guy. His whole thing isn't even really – that's not his thing. His thing is pointing out, you know
– his thing is the mainstream media is a crime against the American public.
Yeah, and
he said
it's
on the
true.
Scott Horton show, and it's totally true.
And that's what the interview is going to be this weekend. It's not actually going to be an interview. It's going to be you and him discussing that fact. And you have a similar background to him. It wasn't as rock star level as him. But
I left early.
You left. Well, he left early too.
He was in it for 14 years, man. That's,
yeah, that's true.
That's a long time. That's a long time. That's what I really want to know. I'm really curious about that. And would that be good radio? I don't know if that's something I should talk to him about offline or not, because I'm really curious. Did he always have the same kind of political stance?
Of course, that's something you should ask him, and you should ask him why he stuck it out so long and why he left.
Why he left? Did he see it getting worse? Because I saw it getting worse after during my third year of doing it. I was like, oh, this is not going well. This is not what
you
I
were
signed
an anarchist.
Up for, and I'm not telling the
you,
truth.
You were
people.
An anarchist, and he was. They also let him. I don't know how long he was doing that hard hitting stuff, but they let him do much harder hitting stuff more regularly than they let you.
Yeah. Well. That's why I really wonder what the fallout was too, and that's the other thing I really want to know about, because he was driving he must have been driving so much traffic to that news station's website, to their YouTube videos, and people must have been watching it. See, I guess the thing though is it's a local station. Maybe it wasn't really bumping up their local stats, and maybe that's what they care about, because they sell advertising based on to local people, not to people in – you know, states and states over cities.
That's kind of a problem of the monetizing of the internet. It's still not really all that monetizable. I mean, the people that make money at the internet are people providing services, YouTube. You know, if you want to make money in music, you don't become a musician. You open a music store or a recording studio. You provide services to something that everyone wants to do. And if, you know, the internet kind of has a bunch of monetization problems that actually – are part of the reason the internet is cool. You know, I mean, we have a regular listener in Tehran, Iran. What could we possibly advertise that he could buy? You know, I mean, he can't order stuff on Amazon. We don't have enough listeners there that we can, you know, advertise.
He can buy Bitcoin. I guess we don't advertise for Bitcoin, but he can buy Bitcoin.
We couldn't really run. You know, there aren't enough listeners there that we could make money selling ads to, you know, Nima D's Shawarma King down the street from him. And if we did, you know, if somehow someone in Iran sent us money, men in suits with guns under their jackets would come to our house and ask us, why is this guy in Tehran sending you money? Mm. They might not do it to you because you have a family connection to Iran, but I bet they'd do it to me.
Man. Remember when Apple was refusing to sell the new iPhone to people with Iranian names?
Yeah.
Because they worried it could be considered material support for – no, it was because of the sanctions.
That's racist.
They worried that it was too close to
That's
violating
racist,
the sanctions.
Man. That's
Isn't
racist.
It? Isn't it? It's insane. Man, what a world.
What do you got to wrap up here? Do you got a freedom fix?
I don't have a unicorn chaser, man. I worked for 14 hours today and then came and did a radio show. I feel good. This is definitely, you know, even though we talked mostly about tyranny, it made me feel really good. Maybe that's my
Well, we made fun of tyranny.
Hopefully made you feel good, too.
We also made fun of George Donnelly, who's generally a pretty good literary freedom fighter. But, man, he doesn't. How can he not see that he's not walking his talk, man? He writes all these great stirring articles about, and I'm not saying he's a hypocrite, you know, because people, they do one thing and they don't always see the whole picture or whatever, but how can he not see what he's doing when he's telling people, I need to be Moses bringing liberty in this situation and all liberty must flow through me? That's when he runs an unconference, which is basically an internet video conference where great minds come together and there are speakers he picks, but then anybody can come and do it too, where he is totally entrenched in the open source model for liberty. But then I can point out two big things where he has told, you know, Eddie Free and me, I'm the one who's in charge of this liberty.
Just think of that statement. Yeah, that's great. That should be on a t-shirt.
I'm the only ones, as David Kadria would say.
Yeah.
George Donnelly's the only ones who's anarchist enough to be in charge to be in charge of this anarchy.
George Donnelly is awesomes.
There used to be punk rock graffiti everywhere that said anarchy rules. And then people made jokes about what are the anarchy rules? You know, that's a joke. But it's like, apparently George Donnelly has a list of anarchy rules that we're not allowed to see and that he tells us when we're violating the anarchy rules.
Right. And rule number one is ask George Donnelly first.
Yes.
Before doing any liberty.
The only two rules in life, don't aggress on other people and ask George Donnelly's permission first for anything else. I think that's a good place to stop.
All right, that's it. Cut.
Worms.
All right.
Okay, I had to turn it back on because we were having a post-game show about George Donnelly and it was just too pod-worthy. First of all, when he did that to me once, I kind of thought, okay, I'll let it slide. Maybe he's just having a bad day. You know?
It wasn't remarkable to me that much when he told me. I was like, oh, yeah, whatever. Big deal. He's still George Donnelly.
And it was a thing of like, you know, Kofi's on a different continent than me, and George Donnelly's on a different continent than me. You know, Kofi's in Africa, George Donnelly's in South America. Maybe he knows Kofi as well as I do, and maybe they have some arrangement. But then he comes on and tells Eddie Free, who's almost Adam Kokesh's roommate, like they are in the same room working side by side so often that, you know, George Donnelly's in South America saying, like, I had a conversation once with Adam and he has authorized me to tell you in his proxy that I have power of libertarian anarchist attorney, you know, and it's like, and you should have seen Eddie's response to it. It was basically, well, fuck you. You know, it was like, well, when I talked to Adam this morning when I was having coffee with him at his house, you know, it was that kind of answer. It was like, it was just like, how dare you? I don't know who you are. Go away.
Yeah. good times.
Yeah. Good times.
All right. Great freedom fiends.
All right, man. Worms.
Peace.
You know,
okay.
It's such a weird thing to say in the papers that someone was arrested for psychedelic mushrooms because it's such a, to most people, it's not crack or heroin or speed. It's like, maybe he's a wood sprite and fungus are a part of his daily requirement of nutrients. You know, it's so weird. Fungus.
There you go.
Fungus. Guns and fungus, the road to SWAT. All right.
It's on the anarchist food pyramid.
Yeah. And we wish Adam Kokesh the best and we hope he's out soon and be strong and come get out of prison, get out of jail, get out of detention. Get out of Gitmo, wherever they have you, and come make more cool man on the road videos. We like them.
Worms.
Hello, freedom fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I owe me and that includes endorphins. No one won't ask permission, and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Three times a week, Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati share their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com. Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.